Jason Kanz is on the line with us for the best 5 minutes of your day. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Mark.
How are you healing up from that snowmobile injury from Sunday?
I'm still a little tender, but I'm feeling better than yesterday. So
right, so
that's good.
Bruised ribs, right?
Yep.
All right. In fact, you wrote a poem about your snowmobile journey with your buddy Brad Berg.
Yeah, I did. Poetry is such a good way of kind of expressing the realities of life. It uses metaphor a lot, and it's just one of the ways I express myself. So I wrote a poem called Snow Scrawl, and it says this: racing fast, leaving crimson marks upon white expanse, tracing cursive lines perfectly written by the teacher, scribbles becoming legible. I've got the hang of this, I tell myself, flowing effortlessly as I maneuver to and fro upon a wide tableau. Quicker we go, heart and machine accelerating. I watch him make a sweeping arc, poetry in motion. I follow suit, trying to execute the loop with grace. But I colored outside the lines, uncertain what happened. Illegible marks tell the tale. I study the lines, my ego bruised to a deep crimson, knowing that I got ahead of myself. Mistakes are great teachers, I say, as I hold my ribs, take a breath, and begin again.
So not only your ego got bruised, your ribs did too, right?
Exactly.
Aha, that's very good.
Yeah.
You're such a renaissance man. Writer, poet, you do art, you make your own creative T-shirts, you like to cook.
Yes, I do appreciate all of those. You know, I grew up with not always believing I was very creative, and I think part of being created in the image of God, every one of us possesses creativity. But Brené Brown actually talks about creative wounds that people have generally when they're young. And so it kind of silences that for a lot of us. And I think we bring what we can, and I think it's just a good expression of being God's image bearers.
Yeah, that's interesting. I am scarred by an incident, and I hate to artistically, and it's just, and I don't think I'm that good in that area, but it was sixth grade. I remember my teacher's name. It was not my art teacher. It was my teacher. And we were supposed to make a Cyclops. And I don't know, whatever, or at least that's what I was making.
Yeah.
And whatever I did, she was just like, that was, she just let me know it was terrible. So, I mean, I just felt scarred from this point on. I mean, it's like a challenge for me to ever play Pictionary. So, anyhow.
Right, exactly. And that happens so commonly to people, those sorts of creative wounds. And,
yeah.
So.
I think, when it comes to brainstorming, even, I've heard people talk about, you know, what do you have when you brainstorm in a business or a ministry or whatever, maybe your family, but you want to be as, just be able to throw out, be as creative as possible and throw out any possibility. And somebody had coined the term art, if we're going to brainstorm, umbrella of mercy. Like, don't, there's no saying that's, there's no stupid idea in brainstorming, right?
Right on. Yeah. Right on. Yeah. But how often, I know for me, there's that what Kurt Thompson would call a shame attendant around that, where it's like, oh, that's dumb. So I don't even put stuff out there sometimes. And
well, I think we've kind of covered things today. In fact, we've kind of filled the time with the snowmobile poem, Snow Scrawl. People can check it. You have that up at jasoncanz.com, right?
Yes, I do.
All right.
As well as several other poems that I've written over time. So.
Mm-hmm. And again, by and large, you never know what you're going to get here in the best 5 minutes of radio, WWIB weekday mornings, 5:45. Thanks, Jason.
Thank you. Good to talk to you.
I came across this study. It says, here's the headline. Squirrels that are right or left-handed are slower at learning new tasks.
Okay. Squirrel, just say that again because I'm slow on the uptake.
Squirrels that are right or left-handed, as opposed to being ambidextrous.
So are most squirrels
are
ambidextrous? I haven't watched their baseball games.
It leads to so many questions because I'm like,
right?
Squirrels are right or left-handed or ambidextrous? This is a thing.
I thought they were paws and not hands, and I thought they just kind of use them.
Together. Scientists have discovered that squirrels follow humans in being left and right-handed, but although some favor one side of the body over the other, it's not to make their brains more efficient, as believed to be in the case of people. Our little furry friends who show paw preference in experiments were not as good at learning fresh tasks as their ambidextrous counterparts. Why are people studying this?
Please tell me tax dollars were not used on this.
So, again, are most squirrels ambidextrous then? I mean,
that seems to be the implication, right?
That seems to be the implication, and that those that are not ambidextrous, maybe they just had a head injury from falling out of a tree and had a little stroke. Come on. They're squirrels.
Well, we have two dogs, Wesley and Athena, and one of their fun things in the winter is they go out and they've got a particular squirrel that they're trying to play games with and chase. They're not going to catch the squirrel.
No.
But anyhow, that's one of the things. And by the way, today is Squirrel Appreciation Day. I'm not kidding.
Unbelievable.
How do you appreciate a squirrel? Giving
Caleb
nuts and things,
how
right?
I appreciate squirrels.
Yes. Yes, I do.
How's that?
Well, because I had rescued a couple of baby squirrels over the years that had been either, you know, separated from their mother or, you know, injured. And, like, the one I actually had to bring into the studio one time. Well, because he needed care. He stayed in his pet carrier on a little heating pad. And I have syringe-fed baby squirrels because that's cool.
That was an odd morning, but I can appreciate your compassion for fuzzy and furry things.
He was injured.
Yeah.
Patty from Wildlife Rehabilitation and rescues them and nurses them back to health. And, Nibbles survived. She was the baby white squirrel, and she frolics and plays and has baby squirrels of her own by now. It's very exciting.
Appreciate your squirrels today.
He made me this collar so that I may talk. Squirrel! 103.7
WWID. There are a lot of things to celebrate today. Not only Squirrel Appreciation Day. And also Sweatpants Day. Is it International Sweatpants Day?
It's International Sweatpants Day.
I want to wear sweatpants. I don't own sweatpants because I make all my own fuzzy flannel pants. So my flannel pants with my little wee gnomes and llamas on them.
The older I have gotten, the more I appreciate a pair of pants with a stretchy waistband.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Those are nice.
Although mine are all still falling off now because of my weight loss. Yay!
Hashtag Cairo.
Too big. Yeah, sorry.
I think those are my favorite pants. Like, practically, I added these, polyester a little bit and then, like, insulated. They're just great for Wisconsin winter.
Right? Yes. Yeah.
And early morning radio, but it is also Hugging Day as well as Hug Your Puppy Day. Did you know a hug is the fastest way for you to get oxytocin flowing in your body? Yes, it calms your nervous system, boosts positive emotions, and reduces stress. Now, Hillary's talked about, it's got to be 20 seconds.
Yeah.
But I would think that, a 10-second hug could accomplish a lot of good.
Yes, anything helps, and it'll get that oxytocin, which is also called the cuddle hormone, going. But if
it's also known as the love drug, but okay.
Nice.
We'll just continue.
I like the cuddle hormone, love drink, whatever. If you do a 20-second hug, enough oxytocin is released to effectively lower blood pressure and reduce the stress hormone norepinephrine. So short hugs are great, but those nice long cuddles. And think, it doesn't have to be like a hug, but even like cozying in with your child, you know, like snugging in with them and cuddling them. And
absolutely.
My dog, maybe, if he's not being a bad boy and licking my face and on everything, maybe that would count too.
Do you ever have those awkward moments like at church when someone greets you and they, you know, it's like handshake and then they go in for the hug and you're like, I wasn't quite ready for that.
I am that awkward person, Caleb. I'm the hugger. I'll admit that. I apologize to my fellow churchgoers.
No,
likely that's me.
I mean, greet one another with a holy kiss and a holy hug, I guess.
Yeah, right. I prefer the hug, too. And yet there's times where the guys will, like, reach out and do
like
the handshake. And then you're like, are you going to be the person who's going to go ahead and push the hug on somebody? You can tell, right? You can kind of tell if somebody's like,
I can never tell until after the hug, and then I'm like, I guess I should.
I can tell. Like, people are like,
when they kind of stiffen
up. I'm so excited for the hug. Yeah. No.
Hugging is good.
Sorry if I've ever overstepped and hugged you when I shouldn't have.
I don't think you've done with.
I don't know. I don't know that
well,
we have.
Well, it's a workplace, so it's a little different at a workplace.
There's not as much hugging.
Come to my church on Sunday. We'll see how this goes. No.
There you go.
Hug people.
Hug people today,
and it's good for you.
I know my wife and I like to make a sandwich of one of our children, and that's got to be at least a 20-second hug.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Super Bowl is right around the corner, right? I mean, I'm not a
football
fan, but even I know that
it's a cultural
coming.
Huge cultural event.
It's totally coming. Well, there's a petition circulating, and I know that it won't happen this year, but apparently there's a petition circulating on social media that wants to do away with Super Bowl Sunday and move it to a Saturday.
Super Bowl Saturday. The alliteration is still there.
I'm not a sports person. I don't think that's a secret. However, I have to say, I would like the Super Bowl on a Saturday. I think that would be fantastic to have the Super Bowl on a Saturday. I don't care at all about the sports part, but as far as like the food, the party, the staying up late to watch the amazing commercials, that's a challenge on a Sunday when you got to get up for work on a Monday.
Depending on how early your church service is on a Sunday, it could also be a
challenge. My church service is at 10. I think this is a great plan.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't see it happening anytime soon. I mean, for many, many years, I mean, Sundays typically for almost in the TV era for ratings is a way bigger night for TV viewing. Now, obviously, things are always changing in terms of our mobile society and all the different devices you can watch on. But the game itself and even the commercials being the big deal they are, as you've said in the past, Hillary, as a non-sports fan, you like the commercials. I mean, those can almost all be seen before the game now.
Yeah.
So it is a different phenomenon.
It's almost disappointing to be able to see so many commercials before the game because there's kind of that magic of nobody leave and it's like if you need to use the restroom, like you do it during the halftime show or something.
Nice.
You know, because it's like that's about the only skippable part.
See,
but it's like
I guess
commercials.
I'm blessedly disconnected enough that I don't really watch the commercials in advance.
Yeah, I rarely do either because, again, I just want the magic of being surprised and delighted.
It seems like the commercials haven't been as good the last couple of years, though. There's been a couple.
There's a few, but I mean, again, my all-time favorite Super Bowl commercial was, I think it was from E-Trade, and it just showed some old dude sitting in front of their garage on lawn chairs, and they had a monkey who was playing cymbals.
Yes!
And they did that for like 20 seconds, and then they said, well, we just wasted $3 million. Do better with your money, E-Trade.
That's amazing.
Wow.
And that was back when commercials only cost like $3 million.
Only.
You know, I don't know what it's up to now, five or more.
Yeah, something like that. Crazy. Well, it'd be interesting. I mean, I think in general, sure, there's a little bit of a Super Bowl hangover. The game goes late and you've been out and about. And so that's a thought. I mean, almost like I think another way rather than bump the game back is almost make like Monday. Do you have it? It sounds so vain, like so meaningless, like a Super Bowl holiday. But yeah, I don't see it going to a Saturday, but you never know.
I kind of want it on a Saturday.
See, I got a head start on sleep because the Super Bowl was so boring last year that I slept during it. This year I expect
it was
boring. Why don't they start it earlier? Why does it always start at what time does the Super Bowl?
5:40 usually.
Like, it's like late and then it goes forever and like
I think it's not
started at 3. Let's start it at 3 because then we can all get to church in the morning, we can get home, we can prep our food and cozy in.
It's the ads. I mean, I think there's a reason. I mean, I think it's all the pregame stuff. Those ads are a little bit cheaper. And then it builds towards you want as many eyeballs as possible.
Follow
prime
the
time. It's called prime time. And then afterwards, the network that has it, like Fox does this year, right?
Oh, okay.
You want a show usually afterwards. We've never heard more about the Super Bowl halftime show than we have this year.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Right? I mean, they've been promoting this for weeks. Please. I mean, during the games.
But it's on Fox this year, you said, right?
So you can get that channel. So if you host a Super Bowl party like that one year.
Yeah, there was a year we hosted a Super Bowl party only to discover we didn't have the channel it was on. I'm not kidding.
CBS, right?
Yeah, it was CBS.
Over half of us, 52% of Americans, have never deleted anything from their phones.
This is shocking to me. Seriously?
Just how much old information is sitting in your smartphone? Again, the survey finds that over half of us have never deleted files, apps, or anything else from any of our devices. Another 33% said they have files on their phones or other devices that are 10 or more years old.
Okay.
For one thing, congrats if your device is lasting 10 years.
Yeah.
That's great. I mean, budget conscious, fantastic.
I delete stuff all the time from my phone. I'll download an app and then 2 weeks later it's gone.
See,
but I feel like its lingering tendrils are always still there, and that bothers me.
I had now my phone now has much more space, but my last phone I was running out of space, and so I would, and especially with pictures. And I know, and here's the trauma that we went through. So I kept pictures on my phone, and I know about Google Cloud Storage and Google Photos and all of that. But we had pictures from years of our kids' lives on a laptop, thank you, Dell, a laptop that flamed out right after the warranty expired. And they wanted like $200
just to try to fix it.
And so I found through some artful Googling, thank you, Google, how to get in through the back end of the computer, so to speak, and was able to rescue what I believe were all of our pictures and put them onto an external hard drive.
Yes.
But I was so afraid of that happening again,
yes.
losing years and years worth of pictures and memories, that both my wife and I, even with like Google Pictures, Google Photos, we tend to keep way too many things
so
on our phone.
This is what I do with the pictures on my phone, because I take a ton of pictures and I'm a scrapbooker. They're important to me. So every so often I will, and this is maybe a little overkill, I will go through my phone and, you know, kind of clean some stuff up. But then on Google Cloud, you know, it's saved on the cloud. I'll go to the cloud. I will download those pictures onto an external hard drive. And then
double backup.
I download them onto the Walgreens account that I have for printing my photos. So they're actually stored in two different places, because I'm like, okay, if my external hard drive fails, I know right now that they're all on Walgreens. If Walgreens says we're not keeping your pictures or whatever, you know, like I still have it. So it's kind of redundant. Neither of them are fail safe. I have considered getting a third option as well. I don't know that I will, because what are the chances of both Walgreens and my external hard drive failing at the same time and me not being able to nab them from one?
All this to say, we can identify with the half of people who haven't deleted things too.
Totally.
I know we have a couple phones at my house that we're trying to transfer to a new one, and there's so many pictures on the old one, and we're still kind of using a couple because there's memories there. And
so many memories.
You don't want to risk it.
Yes.
Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.